Good morning. It's good to see everyone. Shkoyach for coming to learn. The last week's parsha, Parsha's Boy, concludes with two parshas, Kaddishli, called before, and the parsha of Ahayah Kiviyecha, which is two out of the four times that the mitzvah of Tefillin comes up, of Ahayah Oysa Yodcha, Ulzikarim Ben Enecha, or Ulatoytafus Ben Enecha. And then we have later on, of course, the parsha of Shema and Vahavta, Ushatim Leos Al Yodcha, Toytafus Ben Enecha, and parsha's Vahashchanan, and again, and parsha's Ekev, the parsha of Ahayim Shamoya. And these are the four parshiyos of Tefillin. These are the four parshiyos that are placed in the Tefillin. And the Tefillin, Shel Rosh, of course, they're in four separate batim, because the pasuk says, "Ul Toytofa is Bein Einecha." They're supposed to be four separate parshiyos. It's in the plural, as opposed to the Tefillin Shel Yad is Ukshatim Li'ois Al Yadcha. It's one parsha. It's one singular thing, and all four parshiyos are written as they appear in the Torah on one long parsha. However, at least with regards to the Tefillin Shel Rosh, presumably with regards to the Tefillin Shel Yad as well, there's a machlekes harishonim about how these parshiyos are supposed to be arranged in the four batim of the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and how perhaps they're supposed to be written in the Tefillin Shel Yad, as we'll explain. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos Ketzad Sidron, how are they arranged in the Tefillin Shel Rosh? Kadesh li v'hay kviyecha an yumin. On the right, you have Kaddish Li and V'hayah Kviyach, and that's the order they appear in Parshas Boy. Then you have Shaman V'hayah Shamaya Mismol. You have Shaman V'hayah Shamaya on the left. So the Gemara says, Hatanya Ipcha, we have a bright says just the opposite, meaning Kaddish Li and V'hayah Kviyach are on the left, and Shaman V'hayah Shamaya are on the right. So Amar Abai, look, Kasha, Kami Mino Shokari, Kami Mino Shomeneach. The question is, from whose perspective are we discussing? So the Gemara says, from the perspective, but everyone agrees to the basic order. The only argument is from whose perspective. So the Gemara says, okay, so whose perspective in the end, how should this be arranged? But kare kesidron. So the Gemara says that it's really from the perspective of the person who's looking at the one who's wearing the tefillin, and it's keseder, this is the way Rashi explains, it's keseder that it appears in the Torah. So Rashi interprets the Gemara, which is the way we just would have probably intuitively have interpreted, but maybe because we're pre-biased from the way that we wear tefillin, is that it should be kadesh and v'hayah kiviyecha from the perspective of the one who's looking at the one who's wearing the tefillin. So it's kadesh v'hayah kiviyecha, shema, and the which is in parashas Chana, and the v'hayim shamaya, which is in parashas Ekev. If you turn the page, you'll just see a diagram that's, I guess it got blotted out a little bit, but it's kadesh v'hayah kiviyecha, then shema, and v'hayim shamaya, and that's the order that it appears in the Chumash. Taisvis quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, though, who disagrees. And his first kasha is, if this is what the Gemara had in mind, then it should have just said, which one do you start with? And then tell me, and follow the order of the Torah. Why does it say two on the right and two on the left? That's not the most precise way of saying it. Or it's confusing. Just say, this is the one you start with, and then we just go in order. So somebody's trying to explain, you could get out of this kasha perhaps. What the Gemara is saying is that it should be even, meaning it should be symmetrical on your head. That's why the Gemara says two on the right and two on the left, because it's telling you that the tefillin should be placed directly in the middle of your head. But that's one kasha Rabbeinu Tam asks, is that if Rashi is correct, should have just said the one that you begin with and then continued on. But more than that, the Sefer HaTruma that's not found in Taisvis asks on the opinion of Rashi that that the Gemara is not precise in its language, linguistically. Because if you look in the Gemara, when the Gemara said that Kadesh Li and V'Hayah Kviyecha are on the Yamin, the first one that's mentioned is the rightmost. Kadesh right is on the most right from the perspective of someone who's looking at the one who's wearing the tefillin. Kaddish is on the right. Second right is V'Hayah Kviyecha. Shema and V'Hayah Shema, then what that should mean is, if it's really the mirror image of the first statement, is on the left. Shema is on the most left, and V'Hayah Shema is second left. Which would mean, and this is the way Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara, is that Kadesh Likol Bechor is the first one, then V'Hayah Kiviyecha, and then V'Hayah Shamo, it's out of order. It's really the fourth parsha that appears in the Torah, the Pasuk and Parsha Zekev, and then Shema, which makes sense. That's why the Gemara splits it up into two categories. This one on the right, this one on the left, because this one starts from the right and goes in order. This one starts from the left and goes in order. And that's how Rabbeinu Tam learned the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam claims that this was in fact the practice of Rav Haigoin, and this was the practice of Rav Yosef Tuvelem, who appears often in Taisus, and this was the practice of Rav Shira Goin as well. The okay. But of course, the Rambam adopted the practice of Rashi. So Rashi and the Rambam have their practice of the way that it's considered and the way that it appears in the Chumash. And the Rabbeinu Tam had his practice that you have starting, Parshas Bo starts in the right, the other ones start in the left, and that's why the Gemara broke it up into these to the two groups. Rav Haigon gave it a simin. The way that you can remember it is that he paraphrasing Gemara Masechtas Kiddush and then Makshinan Havayos Ahadodi. The Gemara is really talking about something else. The Gemara is talking about whether Kiddush a shtar has to be written Lishma. Of course, a get has to be written Lishma, the cause of law, Sefer Krisus, law Lishma. The question is, when a woman gets divorced, of course, the document has to be written Lishma for this specific couple. What about when you write a shtar Kiddushin? Does the shtar kiddushin have to be written lishma? One of the three ways of contracting, of arranging a marriage, kiddush shtar, kiddush kesef, kiddush biya. Does the shtar have to be written lishma like a get? So the Gemara says, are we makish havaya liyitzia? Because the pasuk says vayotza v'hoysa liisha achel. The pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, she got divorced, she went, she married someone else. So just like vayotza has to be a get that's written lishma, the v'hoysa liisha achel, the havaya has to be lishma with the shtar kiddush that's written lishma. Or perhaps just like you don't have to produce money for kiddush kesef lishma, we don't have to print coins or mint coins for the purpose of kiddushin, so then so too you don't have to make a shtar kiddushin lishma. Makshinan havayos ahadodi. The Gemara concludes you don't need a shtar kiddushin that's written lishma. It could be a copy, generic template, because makshinan havayos ahadodi. So the Rav Haigon imported that phrase to hear that vahaya kiviyacha and vahaya imshamaya are adjacent to one another. If you look at the tefillin of Rabbi Kam on the other side, you'll see that the two vahayas are adjacent to one another. So he interpreted that as makshin and havayas adadi.
Rav Shira, changes the
meaning. Oh, we'll get to one second. So Rav Shira Goyen had a different other rabbi. Rav Haigon and Rav Shira Goyen are the most earliest ones we've cited so far. Yeah. Rav Benatam, of course, is the grandson of Rashi. How could he have different tefillin? Didn't Rashi right give him the tefillin as the bar mitzvah present? But Rav Shira Goyen had a different simen to this, which I think is important. He claims that it's because on the either side of the tefillin, as the Gemara says over here, Maseches Menachah, Shin Shal Tefillin Alach L'Moshe Misina, on either side of the tefillin Shal Rosh is a Shin. The Taisus quotes him the Shimusha Rabbah, that on the the right side of the one who's looking at the tefillin, on the right side is a shin with four arms, and on the left side is a shin with three arms. So if I'm wearing my tefillin, so it's on this side is the one with my left. So this side is the one with four arms. This is the one with three arms. But the shin shall tefillin halach l'moshe misina. So Sarah Shira going, since the shins are on the outer part of the tefillin, the two parshiyos that begin with a shin should be on either part on the outside. So you have on one side Shema, and the other side you have Kadesh Li Kol B'Kol, which also has a shin. So the two shins should be on the outside. I think this is important because the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is somewhat perplexing, right? Rashi holds you follow the order that appears in the Chumash. It makes a lot of sense. You should follow the order that appears in the Chumash. The Ravid is not happy with Rashi because he says, and other Rishon are not happy with Rashi, why do we follow the perspective of the one who's looking at me? It should be based on the one who's wearing the tefillin. And that's why there are other opinions in Rishon and Rishonim who flip Rashi around. But if you hold that it goes, it follows the order, but from the perspective of the one who's wearing the tefillin, not from the perspective of someone who's looking at the one who's wearing the tefillin. Okay. But that's Rashi's perspective. We could understand either variation of that because it follows the order that appears in the Chumash. Why should it be that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Kadesh Li, on this side, that's a good reason why it should be from the outside perspective. Right, but either way, according to Rashi, I could explain it from the one who's wearing the tefillin. It's a message to me. Or maybe it's because, right, maybe it's a message I'm spreading to others. You could explain it either way. But the fact that it goes sequentially in the Torah makes sense. Why does Rabbeinu Tam hold one side is Kadesh Li Kol B'Kor, and on the left side, we start all over again with Shema, and it goes the other direction. So I think perhaps a hint, it might be because, I mean, it's not my own suggestion, okay. Others suggested already. Maybe it's based on the Shimu, huh?
Is it clear calling on to the dais that the Sefer is Makif?
The Gemara says, I'm sorry to mention it, the Gemara says, Im Hiklif Parshius Psuas. If you rearrange the Parshius, it's puzzle. So the Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, a puzzle for Rashi, the Tefillin of Rashi, a puzzle for Rabbeinu Tam. It's a zero-sum game. Heavy stakes. Wow. Wow. You're not Yoytze with the wrong Tefillin. We'll get to that in a second. You're not Yoytze. If you hichl of the parashah, you're not yotze. But why should Rabbeinu Tam say this? So perhaps it's linked to these two shins. That's why Rav Shira Goyen connected it to the two shins already. Perhaps this perspective is linked to the two shins, because already, it sounds like Chassidus HaTorah, but it's not. Already, it's from the Rishonim. The Beis Yosef here quotes from the Smag. Where did these two shins come from? So he quotes on the from the Hagos on the bottom of the smug, which the Beis Yosef already had. That is because where do we ever have a shin that has four arms? So he says the shin of the four arms is represents the shin that was engraved upon the Luchos, because it wasn't written on a piece of paper where it has three arms; it was engraved. And when something is engraved and it has three arms, right? So if you like look at fourth, it would be engraved. So you'd end up having it would look like a shin that has four arms because you have the two in between the three and then the two outer ones. So it comes from the shin of the Luchos. That's already the Hagos on the bottom of the smag. Comes from the shin of the Luchos. That's, you know, on the right side and on the left side, you have the shin that's written in the Sefer Torah. That's like every other shin that's written in the Sefer Torah. So that's where the two shins come from. So perhaps these two shins really represent two sources of our emunah, which is what we wear the tefillin together with the Kriyat Shema as a representation, a demonstration of our emunah and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why Kriyat Shema and tefillin perhaps are connected, because there's two sources of our emunah. There's one source of emunah from the Luchos, Maamid Har Sinai, and of course the two parashas and parashas Bo, which begin on the right side, that discusses Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. We should keep tefillin because the Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. A source for our emunah comes from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from Maamid Har Sinai, the Luchos, things that we witnessed together as a nation, but that's more emunah pshuta, just we saw it happens, and therefore we believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The other shin, which is in Sefer Dvarim, which was composed already by Moshe Rabbeinu, that was written by us, that comes from the Torah that we write. That's where we find, we investigate, and we come to the conclusion that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists independently of the historical or anecdotal evidence that we have as a nation. So that's perhaps the two sources of emunah coming together in the head, they're coming as one, and converging, synthesizing in a person's head, and those that we have to integrate those two sources of emunah.
After Sinai, unless the concept of Omar Shemayim accepted by Shalom as the ultimate would come after Sinai.
What do you mean come after Sinai?
What is the idea of the
first of Kabbalah Omar Shemayim? Is Yichud Hashem? That's right. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema.
Right. So saying it comes after the Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Yitzias Mitzrayim is a basis for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. That's why perhaps we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kriyat Shema, because one of the reasons, you know, what strengthens our emunah is the fact that we saw the Ribbono Shel Olam in Yitzias Mitzrayim and Maamid Har Sinai. So we interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's one source of emunah, but that's really an emunah pshuta. I didn't arrive at that, you know, theological, philosophical conclusion on my own. But then it's important for a person to also to contribute that part of it. So Rabbeinu Tam is saying I have to integrate these two parts together in my head, and that's why they're starting from two different sides, representing the two different sources of emunah. Perhaps that's where already it comes from.
Why can't you just say Rabbeinu Tam had a kash on the Lashon Gemara?
You can. What? You can.
Oh, okay.
You can. But it's why would you interpret the Gemara in this fashion?
Because it is written strange.
Yeah, the language happens to support Rabbeinu Tam. I agree with you. But the Svara is so compelling that it should be in the order of the way that it appears in the Torah. That I think it requires some measure. You're right. You could just say it was Pashut, and there are those who say that. This is Pashut, a linguistic machlekes, how to read the Gemara. According to Rabbeinu Tam, though, you come up with a problem in the Tefillin Shel Yad, because of course the Tefillin Shel Yad have to be written Kesidron, in the order that appears in the Torah. So that's why the Rishonim say, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it has to be written Kadesh, Vahay, Kviyacha, then Shema, then Vayam Shema, the way that it appears. But what he means is that it has to be written in the order, first Kadesh Li, then Vahay, Kviyacha, then Vayam Shema. You have to leave a blank space for the Shema, and then they fill in the Shema later. So people who are writing Tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam have to write the Tefillin Shel Yad, again, is all one long parsha, as opposed to Tefillin Shel Rosh, is four separate parshas, four separate batim. So you have to leave a space for the Tefillin, for the Shema, leave a space for Vahaya, Im Shamoa, so you write the Shema at the end, then Vahaya Im Shamoa, the fourth one. It's a tricky thing. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it has to be, they have to appear in the Tefillin Shel Yad, have to appear in the order that appears in the Chumash. Either way, be that as it may, we have a big machlokes, so we showed him how the parashas is supposed to be arranged in the Tefillin Shel Rosh and how they're supposed to be written in the Tefillin Shel Yad. And as Rav Aaron already pointed out, the Gemara says over here in the second line of Ois Aleph, Im Hichlif HaParashias, you're not Yoytze. If you switch the order of the parashas, you're not Yotze. So this, the stakes of this game are quite, of course, not a game, but the stakes of our discussion are quite high. But of course, the most perhaps difficult issue in this entire machlekes is how could a machlekes develop with regards to this basic thing that we do every day, even with regards to tkiyas shofar, the rishon lemeias, how could there be a machlekes whether the shvarim is ginuche gonach or yilul yoel, is it a long sob, is it a shorter sob, and therefore we do all of the permutations, we do both, and then we do shvarim trua. So Ritva already asked in the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, how could it be there's a machlekes is what the shvarim sounds like? Didn't they do this every year? What did they do last year? So Ritva claims, no, there was years when they weren't able to blow tkiyas shofar, and they pashut forgot. what they did. Or even if it comes once a year, we, you know, I find minhagim in the shul, people forget what we did last year. It's not such a pillow. No, they forget from year to year. Not duty, of course, but some of us who are not as steeped, so we sometimes forget. So perhaps the machleg is developed. But this they were doing every day. Yes, there were gzeiros against tefillin, we know from Elisha Baal Knafayim, but there are they were keeping tefillin. So how could it be that the machleg is developed, or even more pronounced, is Rabbeinu Tam was a grandson of Rashi? How can it be in the same family? Yeah, two different menhagim about how to put on tefillin.
I once saw a very old tshuva sefer, yeah, a community that had round tefillin.
Round tefillin.
And they questioned their yotzim.
I never heard of that before. Wow.
It's a tshuva sefer.
Oh, yeah?
They went up there with yotzim and told it on mitzvah.
So you're saying, but that was a separate tradition, a separate line. They didn't have halacha moshe misinai. What's halacha moshe misinai? But how could this happen in the same family? So it could be Rabbeinu Tam read the Gemara differently and therefore upshlug the entire Masaira because he read the Gemara differently.
That's possible.
Yeah, then we can undo things by just reading Gemara's differently. So therefore, it's a little bit more compelling to say that this machlokes probably clearly predates Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam claimed that was the minhag of the opinion of Rav Haigoin or Shira Goin. But some claim it even goes back even further than that. There's so much intrigue in this sugya. If you're living in the times of the Rishonim, this was like the biggest controversy that was going on, and there's this archaeology and political intrigue going on. So look over here, what? He's the one because it's on the Gemara. You read the Svarim of Haigoin? Yeah. So the Hagoyis Maimonides over here look back. Ois Gimel is the Rambam. So in the fifth line, the Hagoyis Maimonides says because of the Sefer Amitzus Mikomakum Nagu Beretz Edom Beretz Yisrael Karabenu Moishu Karashi. The Rambam of course had the opinion of Rashi. The Gam Shalchu Ksam Eretz Yisrael Shenafla Bima Shal Kever Yecheskel. Once the Kever of Yecheskel opened up. The matzeva on top fell off. Umasu shom tefillin yeshanim moed kisido Rashi. So they found tefillin like Rashi in the kever of Yechezkel. So the drisha, of course, is commentary in the Torah of Yeshua Falk, who lived in Poland in the 1600s. So he says, Adarabba, from here is a raya to the Rabbeinu Tam. Why were they goines the tefillin of Rashi? Must be because they were no good. That's why they put them in Geniza. So the Bach, who was a little bit later, of course, Yoel Sirkis, also from Krakow in Poland, he was a contemporary of the Drisha, so he quotes it, and the Bach says, no, come on, well, even if it was incorrect, they should have just taken the Parshiyos. What are you throwing it out for? Take the Parshiyos out and rearrange them in a different pair of tefillin. Even if Rabbeinu, if Rashi was wrong, why would you be Geniz it? It must be they wore out, and that's why they put them in Geniza. Not because they were wrong, because even if they were wrong, take it out and switch it. So Bekiva Eger says, it sounds like, there's a machleg between the Bach and the Drisha. Can you take tefillin that are from Rashi and turn them into tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam? Can I take the Parshiyos that were in Rabbeinu Tam and turn them into tefillin shal Rashi? The Drisha was assuming you can't do that. So that's why the tefillin shal Rashi, they couldn't take and reuse. They had to be good. And he said, and that was a riot, was wrong. And the Bach argues, and he says, just because you used it for one pair of tefillin, why can't I switch it for another pair of tefillin? So that this comes up. Huh? Shoyad not, but the Tzvon Shorosh. The Tzvon Shorosh. You can't tell anything from the Shoyad, how it was written. It has to appear in the way that it appears in the Chumash.
It's a different order also than Rashi.
No, Tefillin Shoyad, the only machlokes is how do you write it, but in the end of the day, in the Parsha, it's written as it appears in the Chumash. Yeah.
The Tefillin Shoyad and the Tefillin of Rashi are the same?
They're not written the same.
No, but they look the same.
They look the same. They have the only shayla is how do you write it, the order in which you write it. Yeah. But in Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, it's rearranged differently. So therefore, they recommend Soifrim, all know this, that when you write Tefillin, you have in mind Kedushas Tefillin. You don't have in mind Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi. But if you have in mind Rabbeinu Tam, or we have in mind Rashi, so then you can't switch it from one to the other. So maybe this already dates back, where Machlek is dating back to, they're bringing a proof from Yechezkel. And even with regards to Rav Haigoin, so again, Rabbeinu Tam said that was the minhag of Rav Haigoin was like him. However, if you look in the Kesef Mishnah, where is it?
You have it?
Huh? Where is it? Oh, if you look in the Kesef Mishnah over here at the end of his Gimel, Kesef Mishnah quotes, I didn't give you the whole thing, quotes a tshuva that the Chachmi Gunil sent to the Rambam. He said, why are you doing this? It's against Rav Haigoin. So the Rambam says, who told you Rav Haigoin passing like Rabbeinu Tam? Like that order of the tefillin. He says, we were once looking at the tefillin of the Rabbeinu of Rav Haigoin, we opened them up and we found that Rav Haigoin passing like me, like Rashi, that it was written, it was arranged in the tefillin Shal Rashi in the order that appears in the Chumash. He says over here in the last line of his Gimel, Chol Anshei Mitzvah, Chol Anshei Eretz HaTzvi, HaKadmonim Cholkem Al Dover Zeh, on this new wave of arranging the tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam. they opened the tefillin of Haigon Ksulam al Aseder Shekasavdi b'chiburi, and it was arranged like the order that I have it in, that I have my tefillin. So we have a machlekes archaeological about the tefillin there of Haigon and the tefillin of Yecheskel Navi, but then the intrigue even gets a little bit further. Because in the Eshkol of the Ravid, that's not the Ravid of the Asagas on the Rambam, there was another, he had a contemporary Ravid who was also from Provence in France, it's a little bit confusing, but different Ravid. He wrote the Sefer HaEshkol, so in the, I couldn't find it in the Sefer HaEshkol, but all the Achranim quoted. The Sefer HaEshkol, he claims that there's a Raya from Yushalmi in Masechtas Menachos. They used to have Yushalmi on Kachim, the Rishonim quoted it a few times. Yushalmi on Kachim, a Raya to Rabbeinu Tam. A Raya to Rabbeinu Tam. So in the early 1900s, 1907, 1908, there was a man named Rav Shlomo David Friedlander, who claimed to be a Sephardi, he was a shady guy. He appeared in a Satma based Medrash, and he claimed to have a Ksavyad of the Talmud Yushalmi on Seder Kodshim. And he was promoting it, and he convinced a few Gedolim. I think the Marsham gave him a Haskamah. There are a few Gedolim who gave him a Haskamah, but then, as people began to look more into him in a personal way, he had a shady past. He wasn't a Sephardi, and a lot of things didn't add up. He was writing Kameas that he claimed were from Yonatan Eibschitz, and they weren't. And a few strange things about him personally. But then they passed it around to different Gedolim, and they proved that it was that Yushalmi on Kachim was a forgery. He was a masterful, because he took all the quotations that the Rishonim have from the Yushalmi on Kachim, and he integrated them into his text. It was brilliant. And but there were a few things that tipped the Gedolim off that it wasn't correct. They say that the Rogachover read through the Yushalmi and Kachim, and he determined right away that it was a forgery. So they asked him, "How do you know?" So he says, "Because in every Masechta and Shas, every Seder and Shas, there's one Hapax Legamina, meaning there's one Amira who appears. Oh, where is he? There's one Amira who appears in that Masechta that doesn't appear in any other Masechta." And he said, "Here, I recognized all the names. There was no one new." So he said he knew from that that it was a forgery. Amazing. Yeah, amazing story. So anyway, but the Chafetz Chaim quotes the Yushalmi on Kachim. He was never convinced that it was a forgery. He quotes in the Masechtas Becheres and Avav, I think, in Likutei Halachos. He quotes from Yushalmi on Kachim, and they say over that the Chafetz Chaim was so compelled by the Yushalmi on Kachim that he began to wear the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam when he was 90 years old because he believed that the Yushalmi on Kachim was actually correct. They say over that Rabbi Yaakov said that they asked him, "How come you don't wear the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam?" He said, "Well, when I get to be 90 years old like the Chafetz Chaim, then I'll begin to wear the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam." So I think when he turned 90, they say that he made good on the promise, and he started putting on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. So he asked the Chafetz Chaim, "What do you accomplish now at the end of your life putting on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam?" He said, "When I get to the Olam HaEmes, I'm going to meet Rabbeinu Tam. And he's going to ask me, did you wear my tefillin?" So I want to be able to say, at least I once wore the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. But either way, the Chafetz Chaim claimed, there were those who claim that there's already a source for it in the Talmud Yerushalmi. We have a machlekes with regards to the tefillin of Rav Haigon. There's a machlekes with regards to why would the tefillin of Yecheskel put into Gniza if they were the tefillin of Rashi or the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. Some claim it even goes before that, already to the period of the Bayis Sheni. They claim that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls tefillin that support Rabbeinu Tam or tefillin that support Rashi. It's really not accurate. Rabbi Gorin claimed that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls those that support Rabbeinu Tam, those that support Rashi. The archaeologists point that's really not exactly so, but there is something that perhaps could lead one to that conclusion, because they found two pairs of tefillin. One has the first three parshiyos, that's it, it doesn't have the fourth one, and it's arranged like Rabbeinu Tam. So there's Kadesh, Vahayik V'yecha, and then Vahayim Shamoya. It's missing the Shema, so it's hard to really figure out, but it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam. And then they found another tefillin where the two middle parashiyos was Vahayik V'yecha and Shema, but missing the other ones. So they interpreted that perhaps that's more like Rashi. So this machlekes already perhaps goes way back, which already leads us to the conclusion that perhaps really neither one of them is wrong. And that's already what they quote in the name of the Ariya Kodesh. Look over here, Oizayin, this is a Teres Zikain, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, quotes here from the writings of the Ariya Kodesh, that both of them are true. Sheshnei ha-svaras heim amitim, ve'odei kol echem, sheshnei ha-zugos, peo ba'nachosam, pehu'u miyuchedes, Kamosh Mavuasham Soidam. So he says, really, a person, they're both are correct, and he claims that's what the Gemara means in Masechet Seirv, and it's how the Hamid Beis, that there's place on the head for two pairs of tefillin. Why would there be a place on the head or place in the arm for two pairs of tefillin? The answer is because you're really supposed to wear both pairs of tefillin, both that of Rashi and that of Rabbeinu Tam. They're both.
What's the basis that there's an order? What do we sum up that there's an actual order?
Well, you have four parshiyos and four batim.
What's the basis for the
No, this is all halachah mishum yisina. Almost everything in tefillin.
Everybody at the early days, they just made any order that they wanted because they knew they needed four parashas. How do you know that there was an order?
Halachah mishum yisina.
That's halachah
mishum yisina. All of tefillin is halachah. Almost everything is halachah mishum yisina. The square is halachah mishum yisina. The black is halachah mishum yisina.
There's an order that's halachah.
I assume so. Yeah.
Maybe it was different shvatim.
I don't know. I don't know, there's way more, there's more than 12 ways of arranging four parshiyos. Yeah. But either way, in the Shaios and Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, see, quotes over here, this is one of the Rishonim who asked Shaios and Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, he got a response. So it says over here, Oishches, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei, he re-asked this Shaios, one of the Balei Hataisis asked this Shaios to the Malach who used to visit him, and he told them both of these are true, and in fact it's a Machlaikes in Shamayim. In the tefillin down here, we have the tefillin like Rashi, and it's arranged keseder that appears in the Chumash. In the tefillin of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's like the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, that it was arranged like Rabbeinu Tam. Why should that be the case? How come the tefillin, you know, it parallels as the Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Yomi, we saw recently.
They were different.
Yeah, they are. So it parallels the Gemara Masechtas Brachos, which tells us our tefillin have Shema and Vahayim Shema. The tefillin of the Rabbeinu Shalom, how the pasuk can say for Shmuel, Mikam Chayisrael Goyach Baritz. So too, the two. I think you're right. They're connected, and of course, each one highlights a different point. This is how you know relationship should work. We highlight the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Yichud Hashem, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, "Mikam Chol Yisrael Goyach Baritz." So too, perhaps that's why in the tefillin of the Ribbono Shalom, it's more like Rabbeinu Tam. He puts Vahayim Shamoa first. Vahayim Shamoa is the reward that we get if we properly keep the Torah in the mitzvah. So Kaddish Baruch Hu is primarily concerned with us. Then Vahafta as Hashem Alekech has to do with our obligations to the Ribbono Shalom that he puts second. And in our tefillin, we have Shema and Vahafta first. We're more concerned with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we put our Kaddish Baruch Hu first, our obligations to him, and then what we receive in reward if we properly keep the Torah in the mitzvah. Similar to the Kedushas Levi, in last week's parasha, we call the Yontif Chag HaPesach, in recognition of the fact that Kaddish Baruch Hu passed over our house and saved us, and have a Karsa Tov to Ribbono Shel Olam during Makkos Becharis. Kaddish Baruch Hu is referred to in the Chumash, though, as Chag HaMatzis. Kaddish Baruch Hu highlights, he emphasizes what we did for him in leaving Mitzrayim in haste and following after him. So therefore, perhaps the tefillin of the Ribbono Shel Olam, tefillin of our tefillin, highlight the greatness of each other. So already we see this machlekes. Perhaps Ariya Kodesh claim they're both correct, and already we find such a thing in the Shalos and Tshuvos Min HaShamayim from the Rishonim that perhaps this machlekes goes all the way back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and Kol Yisrael. So therefore, there's a reason perhaps already to wear both. This leads us to the practice that's cited over here by the Rosh. What should we do? Lamaisa. We have a machlekes, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. You're not yaitzei if you only according to one. If it happens to be that the halach is following the other. So therefore, the Rosh over here, Ois Tes, recommends that a person fulfill both. And of course, the Ariya Kodesh claimed both are correct. And he quotes, I think he quotes a passage from the Zohar HaKodesh already that both are correct. So he says both are correct. So therefore, the Rosh, it's not surprising, the Rosh already claimed that we should go about wearing both. But the Gemara says in Masechtas Sanhedrin, if you wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time, it's Bal Toisif. So the Rosh says it's not a problem. You have in mind only to be Yotzei with one of them, whichever one is correct. So you put on both pairs of tefillin, he meant at the same time. You wear both pairs of tefillin, and you have in mind, whichever one is correct, you have in mind to be Yotze. How do you wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time? The Gemara says, Maseches Erevin over here, Ois Yod, Yimalkam Yesh, Beroish, Raniach, Bo Shtei Tefillin. How do you wear two pairs of tefillin? Anyone? I always pictured you wear two tefillin.
One behind.
Really? You have one behind?
Of course.
One behind the other.
I always pictured it was one next to the
it's
other.
It's not there enough.
And that's the way the Tzantzeruv says, and Divrei Chaim says, he makes fun of people who have a mirror that look at themselves if the tefillin is properly centered in their head, because he says, either way, the Gemara says, Makam Yesh Barash, Achniyash Shei Tefillin. So what do you think if it's off by a millimeter? Now, Yotze, you're somewhere in the range. So he obviously understood it was one next to the other, but it's probably more correct that it's one behind the other. Yeah. Why? Because Tysus says, we're not sure how big the tefillin have to be. Tells over there, Masechta Sefer, says, Mesupak Hayari, Ezashir Yesh Berach about tefillin. Never mentions a minimum size for tefillin. So they quote over here from a Medrash, the Rosh quotes from a Shimusha Rabbah, who appears probably on Hilchas Tefillin often, that it's the Shir Shtei Etzbos. And the Mishabura says it's Kedai to be Machmer for that, and we are tefillin, typical tefillin that we have is Shtei Etzbos. Yeah, but they used to have smaller tefillin. So that's not like this Shimusha Rabbah, not like the Medrash. But tefillin are fine. The Seferim are not happy with the very small tefillin because they think the parashiyos, there's no way that you can keep them kosher, that they're written mehudar. So that's why Seferim recommend. Yeah, Seferim recommend not to do it. Or if you're going to do it, at least get small batim with regular sized parashiyos. That's a nice pshar. But either way, tefillin could be smaller than even shtei etzbos.
Want to put a bayit and put eight compartments and put both.
In
the same
bayit. That's you're not. You're not saying according to either one. That's according to either one. Or either Rabba. I'll say Tefillin Shal Roy, Shal Duak Rabbeinu Tam. The other one, I'll do like Rashi. I'm a Manav Shach, I get one of them. That's, I don't think it works.
Four compartments here.
No, eight compartments is Bechlal. No, that's Mamash Baal Tosef. That the Gemara says, what's Baal Tosef? Not only where two Tefillin is a Machlekes. We're in five Batim is for sure Baal Tosef. You're violating Nisar. Anyway, so Tosef says, how do you know the minimum shahs of Tefillin is Shtei Etzbos? Because the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wore was two Etzbos. Behind that was the Tefillin. And then behind that was his hat. So you see that there's another room for a second pair of Tefillin there. So you see from Tosef, what you see from Tosef is, if it was the tzitz, then the Tefillin, that, and he says, therefore, it must be that there's a place for two pairs of Tefillin because the tzitz itself is two Etzbos. So it must be the Tefillin also are two Etzbos, and there's room for two Tefillin. What you see from Tosef is that it's really one behind the other. So there are those who still do this. I think it's the minhag by Sfardim to wear both pairs of Tefillin. I've never seen it. Both pairs of Tefillin at the same time, and that's the practice that the Rosh says, and have in mind to only be yotzei with one of them. Huh? So look, you've seen Sfardim do it?
Yeah. Some of them, the really Mahadrim, they cover the Rabbeinu Tam. So from
that's called Minhag Sfardim. Yeah. So over here, it says in Shulchan Aruch, look over here, Ois Yerahalaf says in Shulchan Aruch, Minhag Olam Karashi V'Rambam. Of course, we have our Minhag is like Rashi and the Rambam. Yirei Shamayim Yetzi Yidei Shem, Yirei Shamayim should be Yotzi with both. V'yash Shtegu Zugos Tfilm V'yaniach Shneim. You should put them both on at the same time. V'yachav V'nachasim Ba'is Shah. I only have a mind to be yotze with that pair of tefillin. That is correct.
He says
you
should
put a lot of
two. He says
you
should be like Rashi.
One second. What?
You have something besides for the parasha in there. Somebody put something else in there.
A kameya, yeah.
A petitional kameya in a yotze.
If you add something that
something's in there besides, because otherwise you could put the two parashas to line them up each in each bat. So that you have all the...
I don't know. Is that a chatzitza or probably a chatzitza? I don't know.
Otherwise, you could double up in two of the compartments.
That would for sure be Baal Tosef. You're adding parshias. Of course it would be Baal Tosef. It's like taking a fifth min.
No, you could say it's like...
Just add another corner with more strings. That's Baal Tosef. And it's tzitzis.
No,
you can't do that.
I don't think so.
Well, you think you're going to come up with an iPhone that no one knows? You're going to solve the world's problems over here? You have a peace plan for Raja and Vinatam? I don't think so. Anyway, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, he's trying to fulfill both. Malcolm Yesh Barosh on Yash Shait Film Bechem Bezroel. He says, we pass like Rashi and Benutam, and Rashi and Rambam. Then he says, Yerei Shamayim should do both, because it's a big machlekes over here. Vim any idea of having a Malcolm, if you don't know how to do it properly, because you got it, this is precise work over here, because there's not room for three. U'aniach Shneim Yachad to do it, Yaniach Kedivere Echad Shoyad V'Shoresh, do it one after the other. If you don't know how to do it properly, do it one after the other. So that's what he recommends, to do it one after the other. Ramesha makes the point that Igris Maisha, if you're going to do it one after the other, like it says over here, so you have to be careful not to minimize the time that you wear tefillin to Rashi. We really pass like Rashi in the Rambam. So you can't start switching the middle of Chazar Sashas to put on Rabbeinu Tam, because you fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin the entire time that you're wearing the tefillin, and perhaps the mitzvah of tefillin is not once a day every day, it's to wear it for as much time as possible. They used to wear tefillin all day. The mitzvah wasn't just once a day every day, it was to wear it for that minimal time, as you can keep a gufnaki. So you really shouldn't cut in, you know, on the time that we have dedicated for Rashi. So it's really proper for those who wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, if you're going to be Machmer, unless you have a minig otherwise, is to really put Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin on after davening. And then he says over here, when you do that, you should lay in Kriya Shema again. When you put on the Tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam after davening, you should lay in Kriya Shema again. That's based on the Gemara Masechtas Brachas. Over here, Yadarum Abez, which just because of Daf Yomi saw recently, we'll mention it. Kore Kriya Shema below Tefillin. Person who lays Kriya Shema without Tefillin, ki iwu meyed edu shek of atzma, it's as if he's saying false testimony. He's talking about the Tefillin, ukshatim leis l'yotcho tafiz beninecha, and he's not wearing them. So it sounds like his Kriya Shema is lacking. So that's why you're supposed to lay in Kriya Shema together with the Tefillin. But that's how Rabbeinu Yonah interprets the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's a chisaron in your Kriya Shema if you're not wearing Tefillin. So therefore you should lay in Kriya Shema again. So it sounds like the problem in the Kriya Shema. The Rambam brings the halacha in Hilchos Tefillin, which sounds like it's a kiyum in Hilchos Tefillin. I mean, when I lay in Tefillin, I should say why I'm wearing the Tefillin, because I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is an expression of my Amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, I have to, not only when I wear the Tefillin, should I wear the Tefillin, I have to lay in Kriya Shema when I'm wearing the Tefillin. That enhances the Tefillin. That's why the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tefillin. The Rambam says, Afal Pishim Mitzvah Shem Lav Shem Kol Yom, B'Shas Tefillah Yos Min HaKol, we dafka wear Tefillin during Tefillah. Why do we dafka wear Tefillin during Tefillah? Because we want to elevate the Tefillin by bringing it together with the Kriyat Shema. So even if a person was already Yotzei Kriyat Shema, already, let's say Tisha B'Av in the morning, he was already Yotzei Kriyat Shema, or he already wearing Kriyat Shema together with Tefillin Rashi, when he wears the Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, in order to enhance the Tefillin, there's an Indian to laying Kriyat Shema all over again when you put on Tefillin by Mincha, and Tisha B'Av, there are those laying Kriyat Shema all over again.
This is Psak from Shulchan Aruch, for example, he decides he's going after. It's a Psak. He has a very interesting thing.
Because we don't know.
He says, on what basis does he give you that Rashi is the right one?
Because the majority of Rishonim had like Rashi.
But then, if, by the way, the same sentence says, go to Rabbeinu Tam also.
Why
is there a chatzitza of Shalyad? There are two of us.
Chatzitza in the bottom already is one machlekes. The chatzitza in the Ritzus is a further issue.
One set over the other.
You're not supposed to put them one over the other. You're supposed to put them separate. You're supposed to put it in between. You're supposed to put it in between. So one thing over here, last thing over here, it says over here in the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch over here, Oisidav, Goyasa Keno, Elamisha Muchzak Meforsim Bechasidus. Only a person who's Muchzak Meforsim Bechasidus with a lowercase c. Not a chasidus with an uppercase C, with a lowercase C, meaning he's a chassid in every area. He should be a chassid in this area too, and we're both filling of Rashi and filling the Rabbeinu Tam. But if you're not a Yerei Shamayim in all areas, you should not be doing this. Either because either because it's a little bit of a gaiva, if you're not the Yerei Shamayim in all areas, why all of a sudden are you being machmir now in Hilchos Tefillin? Or because it's disingenuous, right? It's hypocritical. I'm such a Yerei Shamayim in the morning when I wear Tefillin, and the rest of the day I'm relying on kulas throughout the day. I'm not machmir and machlekes Rishonim. So if a person's going to do it, he should be consistent. So if you are Yerei Shamayim in all areas of Halacha, you could be a Yerei Shamayim over here. How did it become then so common? The Achrayim discussed, so common that so many people are wearing tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Aruch HaShulchan already says, Ha'inna nispashta b'kama mekoymes, b'kama medina, sh'manichan tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, ve'im b'zeh yura, at the end of here, voice Rala, ve'yocho kolecha lasos kem v'tovel lo brocha. Nowadays, it's no longer seen as a sign of a person who has great Yerei Shamayim. It's as many communities had a minute already to be machmir like Rabbeinu Tam. Chassidim, who generally follow the practice of the Ariya Kodesh, is not surprising. Adopted from the Rabbeinu Tam, both are correct. So they wear both, not together, like the Sephardim, but they wear one after the other. Other communities, it wasn't that common, but there are Chashulchan claims if a person wants to adopt this practice, it's no longer considered to be a URA, because it's become so common. Why in Litvish circles, then, is it not done? So it's not done in Litvish circles because of the Vilna Gaon in the Maaser Rav was asked by Reb Chaim Volozhiner, why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? And I think Reb Chaim Volozhiner already started doing it, and then he asked the Vilna Gaon why the Vilna Gaon doesn't do it, and when he heard what the Vilna Gaon said, he stopped doing it. Vilna Gaon said, because if you're going to be Machmir for all the Shittas and Rishonim about Tefillin, you'd have to wear 64 pairs of Tefillin, because there's not only Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there's the Ravid who took Rashi and flipped it around. And then there's the Shimusha Rabba who took Rabbeinu Tam and flipped it around. So you have four, just in the Rishonim, how the parashu should be arranged, you have four shitas. We don't talk about the Rav, we don't talk about the Shimusha Rabba because they're less popular, but there are really other shitas, four shitas, how it's supposed to be written. Then you have four shitas, how the parashu is supposed to be arranged. Are they supposed to be vertical or horizontal? Then you have a big machlekes, are you supposed to write the parashias on the side, on the outside of the skin, or on the inside of the skin? Then a further machlekes about what ink you're supposed to use. So if you do all these four permutations and accounting for all of the different possibilities you can have and how the tefillin should be with this and the different sides and all of it, you need 64 pairs of tefillin. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said. He didn't. What do you gain by wearing this one extra pair? Even Rav Moshe, huh? Who did Shimusha Rabba also? So, but what does the Vilna Gaon mean? What does he mean that since we can't fulfill all of it, so then we shouldn't do any of it? Why? And I think that's what Rav Moshe means too. Rav Moshe here has a tshuva to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, was asked. The Lubavitcher Rebbe asked Rav Moshe, he said, why don't you wear the tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam? So Rav Moshe said, when I was in Luban, I did wear the tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, but I had mehudaros, tefillin of mehudar. Now when I came to America, I couldn't find tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam that are mehudar. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, I have a cipher who'll do it for you on the cheap. So Rav Moshe responds at the end, thank you for recommending a cipher. I says, I think I have enough money, I could cobble it together. It's a fascinating tshuva, and he says, if you finally give me the cipher, I'd be happy to have a new pair of tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam. But he says, if it's not mehudar, I'm not wearing tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam. And he says, why not? Why is it tefillin de Rashi? He says, if tefillin de Rashi, he would wear it even if it's not mehudar. Tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, he's not wearing unless it's mehudar. Why? How come? And how come the Vilna Gaon? Well, why not? Chaperon, one extra shita. Why not? So I think what he means is like this. They say over from Reb Chaim, it's quoted in Menachem Zemba, has it in his Tshuvas, the Gur Arya Yehuda. But everyone quotes the name of Reb Chaim. We don't say Safik Dairaisa Lechumra when it comes to a mitzvah, unless at the end of the day I will for sure fulfill the mitzvah. But if you're not going to end of the day, for, like I'm not sure I benched. Bench again. But then at the end I know I benched. If I'm not sure in the end of the day if I still fulfill the mitzvah, we don't say something derives to the Chumrah. Many argue with regards to the Tcheles. So the best guess we have for the Tcheles right now, the Chilazin, is this Murus Trunculus, whatever it's called. But some snail. But no one knows. It fits some of the criteria. It doesn't fit other descriptions Chazal have for the Chilazin. So it's a best guess. So why not do it? Something derives to the Chumrah. So many argue, Rav Asher Weiss and others argue, Rav Sternbach, we don't say something derives to the Chumrah on a guess, on an educated guess. It's only if you have a real suffix. A guess and a suffix are not the same thing. But either way, some argue, no, we don't say something derives to the Chumrah. Why not? Why not wear it? Why not? What do you have to lose? Nothing to lose. The answer is you don't say something derives to the Chumrah unless in the end of the day you're going to fulfill the mitzvah bevados. So over here, I think that what the Vilna Gaon meant, and what Ramosha means is, you want to be machmer like Rabbeinu Tam, that's fine, but you better know in the end of the day you fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. And the Vilna Gaon said, I don't know if we're going to be united to the mitzvah of tefillin, so we don't say something that rises to the chumrah in the first place. So that's why in Litvish circles, there was never a minute to wear the tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam, but nowadays, of course, it's become popular. Some Yerushalayim are doing it. Huh?
It's not such a good story.
Why? Something that rises to the chumrah.
Because you just
wait
to
sit in the chemist. All right, Shkoyach. Don't forget the bench. What?
Chabad, the
yeah.